Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell, lead pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, this morning, if you're new, we're back in our series we've entitled Stand Strong. It's from the book of Hebrews. And the title of the message is The Marks of Spiritual Immaturity. The book of Hebrews is written to Christians who needed to be encouraged. And as you and I learn this truth, what will happen, it'll help us to stand strong in the face of opposition. It will help us to stand strong in our faith. It will help us to stand strong as we walk with the Lord and to grow in our walk with the Lord. Today, as we come to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11 through chapter 6 and verse 3, this is one of seven warnings in the book of Hebrews. If you've been with us, you know the first warning was in chapter 2. It was a warning against drifting away from Christ, that you can actually let your life drift spiritually. The second warning had to do with, in chapter 3, with unbelief and the danger of unbelief and what happens when people are not walking in faith. This morning, this is a warning about spiritual immaturity. In some ways, you could say the book of Hebrews was written to Christians who were not progressing spiritually. They were believers, they just weren't growing in Christ. When it came to their Christianity, they weren't adulting. That is to say, they weren't behaving like a responsible adult. Honestly, the goal of every parent is to raise children who grow up to be responsible, to be productive in life. And I would suggest to you, that is the goal of our Heavenly Father. His goal is that every one of us would grow up to be responsible. Every one of us would grow up to be productive. His goal is not only to save us, his goal is to make us like Jesus. But that wasn't happening in the life of the Hebrew believers. So the writer warns them about the danger of spiritual immaturity. It's not okay to be spiritually immature. What he does is he gives us five warnings or five marks of spiritual immaturity. And I would encourage you to get the James River app. You can follow along the message. It's got all the points, all the scriptures, and you can add your own notes so you can have it on your phone or your iPad. Or if you don't have that, to write these down and to review the message. We're going to talk about that in the message. But let me just give you five marks of spiritual immaturity from Hebrews chapter 5. Number one, laziness in learning spiritual truth. Hebrews 5:11. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are so slow to learn. When he talks about we have much to say about this, what's the much he wants to talk about and what is the topic? That takes us back to chapter 5, verse 10, and God designated him, that's Jesus, to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. A lot of you are saying, I don't have any idea what that means and what that's talking about. Well, in Genesis chapter 14, you have the story of Abraham and his nephew Lot was captured along with his family. A group of five kings invaded the land of Sodom. They carried him away, and Abraham, with 318 men, goes against these five kings. And he's victorious, and he not only defeats them, but he gets his nephew back, and now he's coming back into the land of Canaan. And as he does, he's met by this king called Melchizedek. We don't know anything about where he came from. We don't know anything other than what the Bible tells us about him. But the Bible says that he was called the King of Salem, which would be the King of Shalom, the King of Peace, that he was a priest of God Most High, and that he ruled in the city we know as Jerusalem. And what this king did is he blessed Abraham. The writer of Hebrews is saying that is a picture of Jesus. And specifically, since Jesus, now that he's in heaven, now that he's considered a priest in the order of Melchizedek, what he is doing in heaven is similar to what Melchizedek did on earth. And what did Melchizedek do? He blessed the people of God. So specifically, Jesus is in heaven and he is blessing people. He's pronouncing favor on people. He's pronouncing victory on people. Romans says he's at the right hand of God and he's interceding for you and me. He's got work that he's doing in heaven. See, a lot of Christians want to know about the work Jesus did on earth, and that's important, but they don't know anything about what he's doing in heaven. One of the marks of Christian immaturity is when a Christian doesn't understand, or even worse, care to understand what Christ is doing now in heaven. Or when a Christian says this, well, that's complicated, so I don't need to know it. Can I just suggest to you, that's the exact opposite of the way things are. If it's complicated, you need to know it. But an immature Christian, they're stuck in entry-level Christianity. They're stuck in the basics of Christianity. You say, what are the basics? Well, in chapter 6, the writer of Hebrews lists them out. He says, let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. This is one of the things, and I'm just going to say it. I'm not saying James River is the best church it ever was, but it's one of the things that hurts a lot of Christians is they sit in churches and that's all they talk about are the basics of Christianity again and again. It keeps Christians in an infantile state. Let us go on and instead become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds. Listen, everybody ought to understand repentance. If you sin, you should repent. We all should know that. We shouldn't have to have a sermon on that every week to do it. Placing our faith in God, another very basic thing. Trust God for your problems. Trust God for your life. Trust God for your healing. Trust God for your finances. Trust God for your marriage. You don't have to have a sermon every week to tell you to do that. This is a good place for an amen, but you don't need further instructions about baptisms. The laying on of hands. You realize praying for the sick is something every believer ought to understand. It's a basic Christian 101 thing. The resurrection of the dead. What happens when you die? Where do you go? Everybody should know that. It's basic Christianity. If you don't know that, then that gives you a mark of where you are in your maturity in Christ. I'm not saying that as a shot. I'm saying it as a way to evaluate because we all ought to know where we stand, right? He goes on and says, and eternal judgment. Everybody, we don't need 10,000 sermons on hell. We all understand there's a heaven and there's a hell. And I'm not saying we never bring it up. I'm just saying some people never move beyond that. And there's a whole lot more to talk about in the Word of God. And so God willing, we will move forward and further our understanding. Now back to Hebrews chapter 5. There's much more we'd like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain. Especially since you are spiritually dull. That word dull in the Greek, the translation is lazy. You're spiritually lazy. You spiritually don't want to exert any energy to understand spiritual truth. And you don't seem to listen. In other words, and James says this, don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. The true mark of whether we've heard the word is if we do the word. If we don't do the word, then we really never heard the word. See, a lot of believers are immature because they're spiritually lazy or too spiritually lazy to become mature. Now, let me put it this way. So we'll put it in, and let me say this. First of all, I don't write it, I explain it. Okay, so let's not shoot the messenger. It's not like this is my favorite thing to talk about, but it's there. We're going to talk about it. And If the shoe fits, wear it. So you know what? If it applies to you, it applies to you. Do something about it. You don't have to stay a spiritual baby. You can grow. Everybody can grow. You're the one who decides if you'll grow, when you'll grow, and how much you'll grow. Isn't that good news? None of us are stuck in diapers, which is really good news, okay? Now, that being said, you are spiritually immature if you're too lazy to pray. I mean, like, do you pray during the week? And I'm not talking about, you know, you're just like, oh, God, help me. No, if you're not willing to have a time when you pray, if you're not willing to have a time when you read your Bible, if you're not willing to learn the Word of God, if you're too lazy to go to a life group, because that would really help you. You say, I don't really need it. Oh, you'd be surprised what you need and what you learn if you get around other believers. I know this, when I am in a life group, and we're talking about, because we do sermon-based curriculum, most groups do that, we're talking about the message, I'm like, wow, I should have had this discussion before I preached the message. Everybody can learn. Some of you are too lazy to attend church. You say, but I'm here today. But you're gone the next 3 weeks. Or you're coming here today was simply, well, I guess if it all worked out and it felt like it, and we just decided, hey, why not? If that's how you approach church attendance, it's because you're spiritually immature. It's lazy thinking to say, you know, if it's hard to understand, I don't have to understand it. You say, but John, honestly, does it really matter if I understand how the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin? Does it really matter if I understand the ministry of angels? Does it really matter if I understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how that works and what that does? Do I need those things? Do I need to know those things to get to heaven? And the answer to that question is no, you don't. But the less you know about those things, the less stable, the less effective, and the less faith-filled, and the less powerful you will be as a Christian. And the weaker your faith will be. The first mark of spiritual immaturity is laziness in spiritual learning. It's the second mark. It's an inability to teach or disciple others. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. One of the things a Christian does is a Christian understands freely, Jesus said, we've received, now therefore freely give. That once I learn something, I should share it with people around me. That means that you talk about it. That means you go home, you talk about the sermon. Your odds of retaining what you hear in any sermon is directly proportional to the amount of time you spend talking about it. Because when you take and rehearse what you've heard and what you've learned and what God has spoken to you, it embeds it in your spirit. If you don't talk about it, it's not going to happen. Again, this is why a life group is so absolutely important. And what God wants for us is he wants us to be able to take what we've heard and transmit it to others. And I'm not talking about you standing in front of a class. What I'm talking about is you talking about it with your family. You talking about it with your kids. You discipling your kids. You talking about it with your coworkers or your friends. Here's the thing, you can't teach what you don't know. It's impossible. And here's the tragedy. If you're a parent, you should be discipling your kids. And if you aren't discipling them, you're missing out on a wonderful opportunity that you will not have later in life. And if you did it now, it would bless your kids by making them wise, and it would bless you by making them easier to parent. And we're not talking about rocket science. So I'm not a scholar. Here's what David does with his boys. They read through the book of Proverbs. It's very simple. Almost anybody would be able to understand the book of Proverbs. But you say, but what if I get to a verse I don't know? Then there's this wonderful thing called Google. And you Google, what does Proverbs 27:18 mean? And you hit enter, and surprise, surprise, you will see several explanations of that, and you will appear to be the wisest parent in all the world. It's very simple. I'm saying you can do this. And if you do it, it will bless you and it will bless your family, and they'll never forget it. Number three, another mark of spiritual immaturity is you're going backwards instead of going forward. You're spiritually regressing instead of spiritually growing. Watch this. Instead, you need someone to teach you again. You already learned it once. But see, what happens is when you're spiritually mature, what happens is you either use the information or you lose the information. You either make it a part of your life by putting it into practice, by dispensing it to others, or it just exits your mind, and then you have to learn it all over again. You need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. Let me give you a major principle that will help you. You cannot stay where you're at spiritually. You are either going forward or you are going backwards. You're either more spiritual today than you were yesterday, or you are less spiritual, but you are not the same. That's impossible. Nobody stays the same. And here you've got people, and he's saying, you need the basics all over again. Now, as we move through this, what he's going to talk about, he's going to talk about spiritual infants who need milk. And let me just say this, if you're a new Christian, it's absolutely appropriate that you would need to know the basics of Christianity, and there's no shame in needing to know them, because until somebody's told them to you, how could you know them? And those basics become a foundation upon which you're going to build your life spiritually. It's very important to get the basics. This is why you need to be in the Soul Set Free class on Wednesday night. It will really help you to nail those things down in your life and will help you begin to grow. And nobody is looking down on you if you're a new believer and you're getting basics, which he's going to call spiritual milk. I mean, we understand a baby needs milk. That milk's the right thing to give them. And we delight in giving a baby milk. In fact, as a grandparent, it's a great joy to hold my grandchildren when they were infants and to feed them a bottle. And I'm not looking at them saying, hey, stupid kid, why aren't you eating steak? They need a bottle. They need spiritual milk. But in Hebrews chapter 5, is you've got people who have been in this a long time, and they still need spiritual milk. I mean, I don't mind giving a new Christian spiritual milk. What gets a little old is when you gotta part the whiskers to stick the bottle in. Back to the Bible. You need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. So like, you don't want to hear about Melchizedek. You don't want to hear about this. You don't want to hear about that. You're like, oh, I just want to hear another good sermon on repentance. I just want to hear, you just want to hear the baby doctrines of Christianity. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant. You know, here's the problem. Babies don't contribute to anybody else. Babies are helpless. Babies aren't thinking about how they can help others. They're not capable. They're only nursing for themselves. And if you're not growing in the Lord, then you're spiritually an infant. And this is what he's saying. I'm not here to offend anybody. Again, I don't write it. I explain it. That's all I do. Don't shoot the messenger. But there's some of you, and even as you're hearing this, is what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, you know, John, I hear what you're saying. But honestly, I don't want to learn anything more. I mean, whatever you give me, you got a shot once a week, and whatever I get, that's what I get. And I don't want to read my Bible, and I don't want to pray, and I don't want to disciple my kids, and I don't want to go to the prayer meeting, and I don't want to be in a life group. Honestly, John, I think I'm fine. And if that's where you're at, then I say, dinner is served. I mean, and the problem with this is it tastes the same every single time. It's not going to build big muscles on you. You're not going to get a spiritual six-pack off this. You're not going to have spiritual guns and people are going to say, wow, look at that. You're not going to have any of that. You're not going to be wise. You're not going to be strong. You're not going to be solid. You're just going to have your bottle and suck on it. On the other hand, there's some of you, and here's what you're saying. You're saying, you know what, John? Challenge accepted. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to disciple my kids. I'm going to make some changes in my life. I'm going to grow in the Lord. I'm going to get in a life group. I'm going to do the deal, John. And I say, great, dinner is served. Man, that smells good. 22-ounce porterhouse. You can sink your teeth into that. It not only smells good, it tastes good. Because it is good. It's got flavor. It's got aroma. It's got protein. It's going to build your life. It's going to make you feel like $1 million after you eat that thing. You're going to say, oh, there's nothing like a steak dinner. And I just want you to know, at James River, we serve steak. It's wonderful to have a steak dinner, right? We're not here to baby people. We're going to help people grow in the Lord. And when people are growing in the Lord, they're going to be strong in the Lord. They're going to be faithful in the Lord. They're going to stand for the Lord. They're not going to be shaken by everything going on around them. They're going to stand firm in the Lord and in His mighty power, because they're not a milk Christian. They're a meat Christian. And really, those pictures, those two illustrations, that's what it is. Are you a milk Christian?
No.
It's good to hear. Or are you a meat Christian? You want to be a meat Christian. That's where the joy is. That's where the action is. That's where the power is. That's where the fun is. That's where the life is. Listen, Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it to the fullness. That comes with eating meat rather than drinking milk. Well, number four, another mark of spiritual immaturity is you don't know how to use the Word of God. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. You see, if you're just hanging out in the basic doctrines, you're not going to learn how to use the Word of God in your life in a way that will build your life, that will bless your life, and will bless the lives of others. For example, you say, what do you mean? Well, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what? God's Word will show you where to go. It'll show you how to live. It will show you how to think. It will show you what to do. It will guide your, you read the Bible and all of a sudden you'll find yourself going in directions you never imagined, experiencing what you never imagined. Why? Because you become mature. You know how to use the Word of righteousness. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. You want to walk in purity? Live according to the word. Take it a step further and memorize it. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When you know how to use the word of righteousness, it will keep you from sin. It will help you to walk in righteousness, and you'll know the joy of a clean heart before God. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies. You know what? When you read the Word of God, all of a sudden there's a wisdom that comes into your life. There's a joy that comes into your life. There's a direction that comes into your life. There is an understanding, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you through the Word of God. And here's the thing. You say, well, I don't understand it. I don't know what I'm getting out of it. Listen, be in the Word, and the Spirit of God will either A, illuminate that verse to you, or He will talk to you and give you what you need. Either way, you're having an encounter with Him. Then you go to Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Are you really willing to walk into the battle with the enemy without having any weapons? But when you know how to use the word of God, it is the sword of the Spirit. It's how you fight the powers of darkness. It's how Jesus fought the enemy. He said, "It is written." He quoted the word of God to the devil, and he won every single temptation. It's the word of God. When you know how to use it, it makes a massive difference. And we also thank God continually, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of man, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. You read the word, it works in you, it strengthens you, it reproves you, it rebukes you, it encourages you, it builds you, it makes you strong in the Lord. It's the word of God. And then Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, the unredeemed part of you and the redeemed part of you. There's that battle. How do you know whether it's your soul? How do you know whether it's the spirit? The word of God will help you sort that out, because it, like a knife, will cut those two apart and show you that's the unredeemed part. This is the redeemed part. That's where you go. That's the power of the word of God. But you're not going to have that if you don't know how to use the word. And the only way you know how to use the word is you've got to learn the word. You got to live in the word. You got to walk in the word. And if you do, your life will be full, and it will be full not only of the blessing of God, but of victories over the enemy. And you will know the joy of having God's word work in you. Number five, fifth mark of immaturity: cannot discern good from evil. I'm being honest, I think this is something that plagues people today. Because we live in a society where many people, sadly Christians, are taking more cues from TikTok than they are from the New Testament. They're like, "Well, I don't know," because they saw some funny, erudite people on TikTok, or saw some video, and they're like, "Well, I think that sounds good because it made me feel good." Well, that's the way you get yourself in trouble. Look what Hebrews 5:14 says: solid food is for those who are mature. A steak is for a mature person. How'd they get mature? Who, through training? That word in the Greek, gymnazo. It's a root word of gymnasia. What does that sound like? Gymnasium. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through spending time, not at Gold's Gym, nothing wrong with that, but spending time at God's gym. You go to God's gym, it's gonna work those muscles. You're gonna be stretched in your faith. You're gonna exercise your faith. You're gonna learn. You're gonna build spiritual strength, spiritual muscle, spiritual faith. And what it will do is it will sensitize you to the things of God, to the voice of God, to the perspectives of God that will help you make decisions that are in keeping with who God is and what he thinks. Watch it. They've trained and now have the skill to recognize the difference between right, which is good, and wrong, which is evil. Paul puts it this way regarding training: don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one gets the prize? So run to win. You're all in a race. To be a lazy Christian is like to be in the Olympics. Because I'm going to tell you, the judgment seat of Christ, which is for believers, it's where each one, it's not determining whether you go to heaven or hell. It's determining what you'll receive as a reward that will affect your eternity. Heaven's going to be wonderful for everybody. It just won't be the same. Some people will have achieved an eternal glory that will be much greater than others. And their eternity, this is what you and I do here and now, will determine what life's like in eternity. Some of you are too earthly bound to accumulate anything that's heavenly good. You're so caught up in this world, you're not even thinking about the next life, but there's gonna be rewards. that are going to determine your capacity for all eternity to glorify Christ. You say, well, but then I'll really get serious about it. No, it'll be too late. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. That's what he's talking about. So the writer of Hebrews, as you go back to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong, between good and evil. We're talking about discernment. Let me give it to you in a couple of different translations. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice. You see, when you're in God's gym, what happens is you're not just filling your mind with knowledge, you're conditioning your heart to sense the presence of God, to respond to the presence of God, to discern the presence of God, to discern the will of God, to be able to see things from his perspective. And you have the ability then to distinguish good from evil. The New King James puts it this way, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, they're using their spiritual sensitivity and they're understanding the spiritual realities or the greater realities, and what I sense physically often has spiritual undertones to it. When you're mature, here's what he's saying. Your spiritual senses to discern good and evil are being trained, they're being heightened. So let me put it this way, your eyes, what you see. Is it good or is it evil? Some of you are like, I don't know. And you live in gray because you're spiritually immature. It's not as gray as you think it is. Well, I don't know. It depends how you look at it. Well, if you're untrained, that's exactly right. Your ear is what you hear. Some of you are spiritually untrained, so you listen to a lot of things that don't help you because everything you hear becomes a part of you. That's why you can hear a song 1 week and wake up the next week on a random morning and that song's playing in your head and you're saying, where did you listen? You let that in. Your mind, what you know. Some of you know what's good, you know what's evil. Others of you, you're immature, you don't. Your heart, what do you feel? What in your heart, what do you feel when you walk into a place? What do you feel when you're with some people? What do you feel when you watch some things? What do you see? What do you feel? Your heart will tell you if it's trained. Your spirit, what do you sense? Which you say, what's the difference between feeling? Your feeling is your emotions. What you sense spiritually, sometimes you just sense the power of evil. And other times you sense the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's some of you at this point, and you're immature, and really the sign of it is you can't discern good from evil. And it works like this. So I tell you, you know what? You'd be well served. I'm not saying you just have to listen to Christian music, but a lot of you are listening to garbage every single week and every single day about somebody who ran off with another person's wife and now he's down at the bar drinking and he's trying to decide which one he wants. That's not helping your marriage. And some of you are immature because you can't discern evil. In fact, you justify it. You say, well, I know Pastor talks about that and says it's bad, but I think, well, it's because you're a baby Christian. It's because you're immature. So you watch things you shouldn't, you listen to things you shouldn't, you think on things you shouldn't. Some of you, you let bitterness in your heart and you've justified it the whole time. You're like, well, if he only knew, he talks about forgiveness, but if he only knew what I've been through and what they did to me and how bad it was, he'd understand. But see, that's immature thinking. If you're trained by the word of God, you're like, oh, that bitterness, as deep as the hurt was, I gotta let that go. I gotta have God do surgery on my heart and get that out of me because it's gonna ruin me. Listen, as we wrap this up, here's the good news. Nobody has to be immature. You decide. You can be a milk Christian, you can be a meat Christian. Your choice. Nobody has to live in a land of being undiscerning, unable to see good from evil. Nobody has to be in a land of not knowing how to use the word of God and benefit. Nobody has to be in a land of being lazy spiritually. Every single one of us can say, you know what, God, today in this hour, I want to do different. I want to walk with you. I want to live for you. And when you do, what you'll find the joy of the Lord will fill your heart. You'll find that prayers are answered, which is really a key to joy. You know, you ask in my name and you'll receive that your joy may be full. That's what Jesus said. You'll find a strength. You'll experience the anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life. You'll start saying things and you'll realize, wow, you'll even catch yourself and say, wow, did I really say that? It wasn't even me. It's like the Spirit of God was talking through me, but that was really good. I'm gonna go home and write that down. I mean, you're gonna say things. You're gonna have wisdom. You're gonna have knowledge. You're gonna start pouring into people. Instead of being changed by situations, you're gonna be the person who walks in and changes them with the power of God on your life and the joy of the Lord in your heart and words of life coming from your mouth. That's the thing I love about the gospel. Whosoever will. Whosoever will, whoever wants to, let everybody come. God's no respecter of persons. You can be as mature and as strong in the Lord as you desire.